My job is to be curious. Well, not my whole job, but a significant portion of my job is to have a healthy curiosity. See, I'm a chaplain. I meet people where they are and try and support them on their spiritual journey. Right now, I am a chaplain with hospice. And sometimes that means I pray. Sometimes that means I definitely do not pray because the person I'm talking to does not appreciate prayer. Sometimes I read to someone from a spiritual text that's important to them. Sometimes I read to someone a profound story about life because they could use an experience of wonder. One time, I actually read to someone from the Dungeons and Dragons Player's Guide. Because they were young and lonely and afraid. And because they were in the hospital, they were missing their first Dungeons and Dragons game. And it made them feel less lonely and afraid to know that they could connect with that group of friends, even though they were at a distance. Sometimes people need Catholic sacraments. Sometimes they need communication with whomever is making food so that that food will meet their specific religious dietary restrictions. And most often people, just want to not feel alone for a moment. So maybe the most important thing I do is to sit and listen and be curious. Because I'm going on a journey with them. They get to lead the journey. They get to choose our path. I need to be wondering where they are and where they want to go. And let me tell you, when you journey with somebody on their path, you have to be ready for a variety of discoveries. You have to be ready to find a box of Play-Doh. Well, not Play-Doh, but something delightful. Something you enjoy, something that is easy and simple, and you clearly understand why it's there. We journey with this person, staying curious as to where we're going, and we find we're going down a well-traveled and familiar road. But we also have to be ready to find broccoli. Well, perhaps broccoli is the wrong analogy for this group of people because we've seen how much you like broccoli. But not broccoli, think about something kind of in the middle ground, something that you don't love, but you also don't, doesn't scare you. Just kind of in the middle. In the case of broccoli, it's considered to be healthy. But I think for most, well, I thought for most people they didn't consider it too charming. I'm learning something today, and I love it. Curiosity. But in those cases where we find something in the middle, perhaps we struggle to stay curious, to see what we find. And we also need to be ready to discover bugs. Something gnarly and spooky that might make us jump. Something we're unprepared for and not eager to see. Something that stops us from wanting to move forward and be more curious. So let me tell you a little story about curiosity and something that happened to me about 10 years ago. I was a member of a UU church and I'd been attending there for a while. And every summer, they'd ask some members to talk about their spiritual journeys before church each Sunday. People would come and listen and then have the opportunity to ask questions. Because we're UUs, we want to ask questions. My turn had arrived to speak at one of these sessions, and I spoke of my spiritual journey. And an important part of that journey has always been working to dismantle sexism, racism, heterosexism, or homophobia, classism, ableism, and the like. I see these as barriers to us as humans truly connecting to one another. So I spoke of this in my talk. After I was done, someone asked if I had ever experienced homophobia or heterosexism in our congregation. I thought about this for a moment. Now, while I had never received threats against my life because of sexuality in the church, I'm queer, by the way, for those of you who don't know, and while I had never directly been shunned because of it, or experienced theological ideas in our church that said queer people were less than in any way. While there was never anything that was angrily shouted in my face, there was still this little thing that kept on happening, and I was beginning to realize it was a little bit of a problem. See, I'd had this long-term boyfriend for about 3 years, and the people at the church knew that. They knew he was my boyfriend, and some of the people I was friends with in the choir would ask me about him, and they'd say, "How's your friend?" Now, to be sure, this is a complicated moment. These choir friends surely did not mean any harm and did not judge me based on my sexuality. And certainly, it has been common at times in the history of language to call same-sex partners friends and not mean anything harmful by it. And it legitimately is a place of inequality for many queer people in the current day, as many of us have struggled to have our romantic relationships recognized as real and valid. So a complex issue. But I wanted to answer the question as truthfully as possible. Immediately, there were two reactions in the room. A person in the back of the room said, "That's not homophobia. It's not a problem, and it doesn't happen here anyway." This person, when they were curious that morning, in their listening, they found a box of bugs. This was not what they wanted to hear, and they did not agree with it. Immediately after that, a lesbian couple in front of him, longtime members of the congregation, turned around to him and said, "That is homophobia, and it's happening to us too." This couple had been curious that morning, and when they listened, they found something they understood and could relate with. They found that box of Play-Doh, in a way. A third reaction came after our session had finished. A longtime member of the congregation, a woman married to a man, sat down with me and asked, "Well, isn't he your friend also?" I replied, "Yes, of course, he is. But do people call your husband your friend, or do they call him your husband?" While she wasn't particularly offset, it wasn't like the box of bugs, when she heard this that morning, she didn't agree. She was somewhere in the middle. But there was one more interaction, and it's the one that really sticks with me. It doesn't quite fit into any of these three boxes. An older couple who were long-term members came to me and said, "Okay, we don't quite understand this situation, but we would like to understand where you're coming from. Can we sit down and ask you some questions so that we can understand this better?" They maintained a deeper sense of curiosity at that moment. Something compelled them to know more, even in that moment of not understanding. Their curiosity blossomed. It opened up and allowed them, maybe even urged them, to continue opening their minds and hearts. I don't know what motivated them. Perhaps they thought LGBTQ rights were important, but just didn't understand what I said. Perhaps they're just naturally curious people. But they allowed that curiosity to blossom. They allowed that curiosity to take them further into something they might not have understood. And these moments when curiosity naturally blossoms are magical. For myself, this is always easiest when I'm sitting with someone I see eye to eye with. I would joke that it's a moment of saying, "Tell me more about how we agree. Tell me more about the ways in which we get each other. I like this." There's a warmth in this moment. Maybe you've felt it before. I like to think of it as a really easy covenantal energy when we see eye to eye. Maybe not a formal covenant, but there's this feeling of connection and bonding. That moment of knowing I am where I am supposed to be right now. But it's the moments that our curiosity does not easily and naturally blossom that I believe hold the most space for growth. As Margaret J. Wheatley says in her book, Turning to One Another, "In this turbulent time We crave connection. We long for peace. We want the means to walk through the chaos intact. We cannot find connection, community, and peace by withdrawing from others or going unconscious. The peace we seek is found in experiencing ourselves as something bigger and wiser than our little self. The community we belong to is all of life. The turbulence cannot be controlled, but when we stop struggling and accept it as part of life, it feels different. When we resist withdrawing and stay present, the way we see the world grows and shifts. We become capable of seeing what was previously unseeable. Whether that means something we resisted looking at, or something that we just hadn't thought to notice before. For instance, in my work as a hospice chaplain, I've had the opportunity to talk to many veterans. Now, I didn't grow up with any family in the military, so I had very little exposure to what a veteran might have experienced. And it's been an honor to be present for stories of the connections that they have made and the struggles they have experienced that are particular to their time serving. They have brought me closer to experiencing all life in a fuller manner than before. And if I am thinking of moments when staying present is somewhat challenging, I can't help but mention the law passed this week in Alabama, making abortion illegal in all cases, including jail time for those who might get an abortion. This is a heartbreaking move that has created a lot of grief, and from that grief, rightly, a lot of anger. I've noted online a lot of mention of how everyone in Alabama is stupid, or hillbillies, or how we should build a wall around the state, blocking it off from our country. I've been angry, and I've been trying to stay present to those voices of people in Alabama who have actually been fighting for a person's right to choose. The law may have passed, but those people are still there. And also for those people in Alabama who might need an abortion and will no longer be able to get one without significant physical or legal risk. In trying to be present at a distance, I wonder how my anger might best be used, and how these jokes about Alabama might affect the people there who actually need the support. But there are two moments when I think staying present are the hardest. One is when being present means you experience an attack upon yourself. This week, anti-choice laws are in progress in some states and passed in others, defying the rights of women and people who would carry children, like I mentioned in Alabama. There have been more protections for those who are transgender that have been rolled back. And there continue to be immigrants held in camps at the border. Sometimes, when your personhood is being held in question by someone, when there is something that they say that feels like an attack, the healthiest thing to do is not to be present. To let curiosity go and give yourself safety. Because while being present is a wonderful way to grow in the world, we also have to keep ourselves safe sometimes and acknowledge, I might not be able to listen to that right now. But it can also be challenging to stay present when we are wrong, or when we have promoted a view that has hurt someone. How many people in this room have ever been wrong? Heaven forbid. To stay with somebody in that moment when we may have been wrong or we have may have perpetuated a hurt, to stay with them without defensiveness, but with a loving spirit, is when the strength of our connections and covenants are truly proven. To be curious and find an answer we are uncomfortable with yet to stay with that discomfort. It says something about who we want to be when we come together, both in our individual relationships and in community. When we are able to be there and say, I'm sorry. When we are able to be there and say, I hurt you and I may not have listened. It said something about where our commitment is and how deep that commitment can be. On my best days, I aspire to be like that couple who came to me after I spoke and said, I don't understand, but I want to be supportive. And then they listened and stayed curious. On my best days, I aspire to be like those people who, when they have hurt me, they have said they are sorry. I aspire to be like them because I know what that feels like from the other side. None of us know everything. But by the actions of people who make these deeper movements towards curiosity and allow it to blossom and allow it to bring forth relationship, by their actions, they are beautiful role models in how to build a loving community. Amen and blessed be.